Handsome Joseph. Yeah, 1, 2, 3. Okay, my voice coming. Right, praise the Lord. Oh, how marvelous. Yeah, oh, how wonderful. Praise God for great love of God. Amen. Right, let's open it with a prayer. Our Father God, thank you, Lord God, for your wonderful love, Lord God. Thank you, God, for, yes, God, for loving us. And you showing us, Lord God, what's the meaning truly, what is love. Thank you, God, and the Lord God, I'm praying, Lord God, for, please, Lord God, bless your word, and Lord God, bless me as well, Lord God. Use me, Lord God, as a channel, Lord God, for to share this message with the people. And I pray your holy name, Jesus. Amen. Right, we come into the Genesis 37. Praise the Lord. Actually, we look at that Jacob's lives. What in this serial, we come to that Joseph's lives, the one after Jacob, Jacob's sons. When you read the Bible, my friend, you will see only God talking about, when the God talking about the creations, only one chapter in the book of Genesis is talking about the creations. But when we come into the life of Joseph, you will see a large sections of the Genesis from chapter 37 to 50 is devoted to his story. Why? Does that mean God's creation is not important? Of course not. Creation is extraordinarily important. The heaven and the earth revealed the greatness, power, and the wisdom of the Creator. Yet many people spend their entire life trying to discover the mystery of the creation without seeking and knowing the Creator himself and his plan of salvation. The story of Joseph is specifically important because in his life, we can see a beautiful picture that points us to Jesus Christ. Joseph was a beloved son who was hated and rejected by his brother. He suffered and was humiliated. I tried many times to pronounce it correct, this word. Humiliated. Thank you. Eventually he was exalted and become the main through which God preserved the lives of the very people who had rejected him. In a far greater way, Jesus Christ, the beloved Son of God, came into the world and was rejected by men. He suffered and died on the cross, but God raised him from the dead. Today, salvation and eternal life are offered to us through him. Joseph only provides salvation for all nations. But the beloved Son of God provides salvation for all people. Amen. Therefore, the Word of God does not simply want us to understand how the world was created. Many people try years, a study about the creation. But that's not our job to know about the creation. Our job is to know about the Creator, not the creations. How much of the wisdom we can find about the, about the space, about the galaxy? Nothing. But we can find many wisdom about our Creator through our Jesus, through our Savior Jesus Christ. Knowing creations can reveal the power and the wisdom of God. But knowing Jesus Christ and believing in him lead us to salvation and eternal life. John 17, verse 3, and the Lord Jesus says, and this is the eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God and Jesus Christ, whom you have sinned it. That's a way of the find the wisdom. That's a way of to find the eternal life, to knowing true God, Jehovah God, and to knowing His beloved Son, Jesus Christ. But come to the Joseph story. If you see, we want to read from the verse 1 to 3. The first point about the Joseph story, Joseph was the beloved son of his father. In Genesis chapter 37, verse 1 to 3 says, "Now Jacob dwelt in the land where his father was a stranger, in the land of the Canaan." This is the story of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brothers. And the lad was with the sons of the Bilhah and the sons of the Zilpha, his father's wives. And Joseph brought a bad report of them to his fathers. The first interesting things we can see in these three verses, the family of Jacob came from Joseph. Normally in that times, the family or the family tree came from the first son. The first son of the Jacob was at Reuben, if I say correctly, Reuben. But Joseph is not the first son. But when we come into the passage, specifically the verse 2 says, this is the history of Jacob, Joseph being 17 years old. Why the story of Jacob is not started from the Reuben? Why they started from the Joseph? That's questions. Why? Any idea? Because through the life of the Joseph, God wants not only to save the family of Israel from the famine, but also to show us the remarkable picture of the rejections, suffering, and then exaltation, a pattern that is seen in its perfect and the complete fulfillment in Jesus Christ. In the verse 2, we see, the Bible says in Genesis 37, verse 2 says, "Joseph, at 17 years old, serving his family by tending the flock. He was carrying out the responsibility in his father's household." Actually, this is to remind us our Lord Jesus Christ. When you come into the Luke chapter 2, we see how old Jesus was it? 10 years? 12 years? In 12 years old, what did Jesus say in the 12 years old? Luke chapter 2 verse 49, Lord says, "Did you not know that I must be about my father's business?" And this is a sign for us, my friends and my brothers and my sisters. That's one of the reasons why we saved, why we come into the Lord Jesus Christ. We are not saved only for spend all life for our habit. No. We are saved because God wants we kept self busy in his business. Jesus, from 12 years old, he was thinking about the Father's business. How about we are? How much we are thinking about our Father's business? When we pray, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." We know we got the Heavenly Father. We understand how our Heavenly Father is a great Father. But how much we are kept self busy for his business. Joseph was serving in his earthly father's works. Jesus Christ came to do the will and the work of his Heavenly Father. In verse 3, Genesis 37, verse 3 says, "Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children because he was the son of his old age. Also, he made a tunic of the many colors. Very interesting points here. Jacob had a special love for Joseph, and he gave him the special garment or tunic. That garment publicly demonstrated Joseph's unique position in his father's household. The Bible also says that his brothers could see the special love their father had for him. And exactly in the same way, Jesus also, the beloved Son of the Father, Heavenly Father, at the baptism of Jesus in Matthew 3 verse 70, we can see the declaration of the Father. In the Our Father say, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I have well pleased." Jesus was the beloved love of the Father. Joseph was the beloved son of Jacob. Jesus is the beloved Son of God. But there is an enormous difference. Joseph was one beloved son of among many sons. Jesus is a unique, eternal Son of God. Jacob have 12 sons. But we see when the Joseph going to the captivity, Jacob pick up Reuben as a beloved son. Joseph is not here anymore. Okay, I got a Reuben. Reuben is my second beloved son. But Jesus Christ is only beloved Son of God. No more. No more after Jesus Christ be a beloved Son of God. That's why in John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." Only begotten Son. The Father loved the Son, yet he sent him into this sinful world for our salvation. And you can become a child of God by believing in Jesus Christ and trusting in his finished work of for your salvation. But remember, my friend, being loved by God does not mean that we will never experience suffering. Jesus was perfectly loved by Father, yet he suffered. Sometimes God purposes to take his beloved children through a difficult place. That's the important point. I'm working with the Muslim people because maybe the majority, you all know, I'm an ex-Muslim. I was a Muslim, but praise God, Jesus saves me. Hallelujah for that. And I'm working with many ex-Muslim and the Muslim people actually through the internet. They are lives in Pakistan and Iran, Afghanistan. And many those people, when come to the Jesus Christ, they are thinking, "Oh yeah, when I be a Christian, everything will be good for me. Everything will be perfect for me." But when coming to the Lord Jesus Christ, I see, "Oh, I'm be a stranger in this world. Nothing is getting better for me. Everything is getting worse for me. My father be my enemy right now. My mother be my enemy right now. My husband be my enemy right now." And my friend, I want to tell you, Lord, no, this situation will be happening for you. That's what God wants. When going to the suffering, you not be shocked. Don't be interested for the suffering. That's why we have to prepare ourselves. We have to prepare ourselves. We have to train in heart. That's why the Apostle Paul mentions, the brother Bill actually bring the message last Friday about the book of Corinthians. The Apostle Paul mentioned, "I finish my race like a player. I finish in well. I'm running for the prize. I'm boxing, but I'm not boxing in the earth. I'm boxing because I know who is my enemy." And this is a reality for us. Jesus was a beloved Son of God. But we can see he got many enemies in that time. Joseph was hated by his brothers. In Genesis chapter 37, verse 4 to 5 says, But when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, they hate him, and they could not speak peacefully to him. Now Joseph had a dream, and he told to his brother, and they all hate him even more. Look at the process. They saw him, the brother Joseph, saw him, and they hate him. They hear him, and they are hating more. And they exactly the situations we can see in the life of Jesus Christ. The Pharisee people, when they are so, how many people coming around the Jesus? How many people sit in the front of the Jesus and the listening, the receiving the blessing, and the listening to his messages, and they are getting envy? They are hate him. They are so him. But when coming for the challenge in Jesus Christ, for example, we see to bring a coin and show it to the Jesus. Okay, we can't give it taxes to the Caesar. And when they're hearing what Jesus says, not about the doctrine, but about himself, in the Sanhedrin, we can see that Jesus says, "You are so the Son of Man in the seat, the right hand of the Father." What did the leaders did in that time? The ruffian himself says, "Oh, we are hearing." He blasphemy. The Pharisees saw him and hear him and hate him and crucify him like a brother of Joseph. They are saw him. Oh, his our father give him the beautiful the dresses. And they are hearing. What they are hearing? They are hearing about his dreams. And they are hate him. And this is a reality. We can see the same truth in the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. Just as Joseph's brother hate him because of his power and his special positions, many of the Jewish leaders and the Pharisees were also hostile toward Jesus Christ by his word, teaching and the work. The more Jesus revealed the truth and demonstrated his divine power, the stronger their opposition to him become. In John 5, verse 18, the word of God said, "Therefore the Jewish sought all the more to kill him, because he's not only broken the Sabbath, but also said that God was his father, making himself equal with God." They all saw him. Oh, he broke the Sabbath. What did Jesus did? Healing someone in the Sabbath. Not only saw him, actually hear him. Jesus says, "I am equal with the God, with the Father. I am a God." Jesus Christ was fully aware of his hostility. He knew that just as the world would hate him, his followers and the believers would also face oppositions and the hurt because of their faith in him. This is why Jesus says in Matthew 10:34, "Do not think that I come to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring the peace, but a sword." For this reason, as a believer, we should not be surprised by the hostility of the world. We must prepare ourselves and estrange our faith for difficult days, for the days when the world stands against the truth of the gospel. Actually, when I'm talking with a person yesterday, he said, "Oh, I'm going to the Seventh Adventist Church." I said, "Okay, I'm glad you're going to the church, but my question is not about which church you're going. My question is, if you die today, are you sure going to the heaven?" He said, "Oh, actually, I'm thinking about this subject. I'm not sure." And I said, "Would you like to be sure?" He said, "Yeah, I would like to be sure." And I showed him the word of God, showed him the gospel message. And then I asked him back again. How about now? Are you sure for going to heaven? He said, yes, I'm sure because Jesus is my God and my Savior. I'm saying, hallelujah. My friend, change your church. Change your church. By going to church is not a meaning you will find the eternal life. Okay, you only through Jesus Christ you can find the eternal life. And this is a reality. Normally the people, they don't like hearing to the truth of the Gospels. The Gospel is sweet, but the first part is a bitterness. Because the Gospel, the message of the Gospel show the truth of our nature. Show the truth of what we are to God. But many churches try to make it sweet to the people. No, you're very good, you have a power, you can do this, you can do that. But not there's a liar, my friends. We can do anything. But by Jesus Christ, through his power, we can do everything. That's his promises for us. So the question is for us, are you ready? Are you prepared for the difficult days ahead? Are you ready to stand firm for the truth of the Gospels? And the fourth point about Joseph's life, Joseph's dreams. Joseph sees two dreams. Come to the Genesis 37, verse 5 to 11. Now Joseph had a dream, and he told it to his brothers. And they hate him even more, so he is said to them, please, hear this dream which I have a dream with. There we were binding sheaves in the field. Then behold, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And indeed, your sheaves stood all around and bowed down to my sheaf. And his brother said to him, shall you indeed reign over us? Or shall you indeed have a dominion over us? So they had him even more for his dreams. They had heat even more for his dreams and for his word. Then he dreamed still another dream and took it to his brothers and said, look, I have a dream, another dream. And his times and these times, the sun, the moon, and the 11 stars bowed unto me. So he told it to his fathers and his brothers, and his fathers rebuked him and said to him, what is the dream that you have dreamed? Shall your mother and I and your brothers indeed come bow down to the earth before you? And his brothers invited him, but his father kept the matter in the mind. Please have attention to the point here. Joseph had two dreams that were unpleasant to his brothers and to his father. Joseph did not interpret the dreams. He simply told them what he had seen. Maybe they have a different meaning. Joseph did not say what's the meaning of my dream. Only he shared on dream with his brothers and with his fathers. Joseph did not create the future described in his dreams. God was revealed what will happen. Whoever his brothers and his fathers understood the dream to mean that Joseph would one day authority and the ruler over them. But are to reject the message because they reject the position God was going to give a Joseph. We read how Joseph's brothers are driven by incense envy and planned to kill him. Later they sold him to the Ishmaelites as a slave, and Joseph was taken to Egypt. There he served as a slave Putiphar house. And they went through the many hardship and trial, but in end God exalted him and they raised him to a position of a great authority in Egypt. Eventually, his brothers bowed down before him. Finally, if you come to the Genesis 42, verse 6, the Bible says, "Now Joseph was a governor over all the land, and it was he who sold to all the people of the land. And Joseph's brother came and bowed down before him with their face to the earth." The dream was fulfilled. God's prophecy was fulfilled. And friends, the story of Joseph's life shows us how rejected brother became the savior of his people. In the same way, Jesus Christ was rejected by his own people and his own brethren. Yet God used that rejection to accomplish his plan of salvation, so that Jesus would become not only the savior of his own people, but the savior of the world. Today, because of the grace and the mercy of God and what Jesus Christ accomplished for us on the cross, the way of salvation is open to everyone. Anyone can believe in Jesus Christ, be saved, enter the kingdom of God, and receive the grace, mercy, and blessing that God has prepared for them. We see in the life of Joseph how Joseph provided blessing for not only for his people, actually for Egyptian people as well, maybe for other neighbors, in the famine time. And then, my friend, the Bible promises us the one day coming is a great tribulation will be happen on earth. The great famine will be happen on earth. If you don't have a Jesus Christ, I got a bad news for you. Maybe you're going there. Maybe you're keeping in the famine. But if you come into the beloved Son of God, you will receive the blessing of God. You will be like a Joseph, save his family. The Joseph family, they all be in the desert. They all live in the famine. But when come to the Joseph, they are coming to the Egypt to receive the blessing because of the Joseph. And when you come into the Lord Jesus Christ, you receive many blessings. Many blessings. You cannot count it how much you will receive it. And one day he will back. And the one day he will back, not as a Lamb of God. He will back as a King of Kings, Lords of Lords. One day he will back. In Revelation 19, verse 11 to 16 says, "Now I saw heaven open, and behold a white horse, and he who sit on him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he is just and make war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one know except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped on the blood, and he was named called the Word of God. And the enemies and the armies in heaven," maybe you and I, the armies in heaven, maybe you and I, we can be back with him. "And the armies in heaven couldn't find linen with white and clean to follow him, or white and on white horse. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations, and he himself to rule them with a rod of iron. He himself trades the vapors of the furnace and the wrath of Almighty God, and he has under his robe on his things and the name written, King of Kings and the Lord of Lords." Joseph, He betrayed by his brother. But God appointed as a king, not a king, but second ruler in Egypt. Jesus, he was betrayed by his own brethren. But God appointed him, Father appointed him as the kings of kings and the Lord of lords. Amen. Let's close with a prayer. Oh, Father God, thank you, Lord God, for your blessing word. Thank you, Lord God, for our salvation, Lord God. Thank you, God, for amazing gift, Lord God, you provided for us. For me, Lord God. For me, Lord God. For us, Lord God. And the Lord God, I pray, help us, Lord God. Help us be prepared themselves, Lord God, because you promised already. In this world, you couldn't find the peace. In me, you will find the peace. Lord God, you say already to us, you will find the hardship in this world. Help us, Lord God. Help us. We can prepare our spirit. We can prepare ourselves. When we go into the hardship, we are standing faithful to you because you are faithful, God, to us, Lord God. Thank you, Father, and I pray in your holy name, Jesus. Amen. God bless you.